The Wire.
This morning I spoke to Virginia Oakley, NZEI's spokesperson for early childhood education, about the issues facing that sector and also what policies the union are looking towards, I think have the most merit ahead of the election. Firstly, I asked her about some of the biggest changes the sector has faced in recent years.
The changes that have happened in the last few years is the increasing impact of the underfunding on the sector and the resultant changes that services are having to try to adapt to be able to stay open, which is driving down quality for our profession. So that we're seeing a lot of more unqualified staff coming in and bigger group sizes, which is not good at all for our young children. For the first time I'm hearing of standalone centres saying that they don't know if they'll be able to keep going. And I think that's really sad. You know, the services are really quite, you know, they might be just someone that's really passionate about child education, or it could be a community-based service that's been there for 30 years, and all of a sudden they're saying, it's, you know, economy of scale, you know, that for us to keep providing this most wonderful service, we need more funding because we've got these increased costs and we can't do it anymore.
So when you say standalone service, do you mean not part of sort of a chain of centres?
Yeah, so I mean, like, we've got our kindergarten associations and then you've got those big private providers, the corporate, you know, commercial providers like Evolve that are there to make a profit from children's education. But then we've got, yeah, these just small standalone services, someone that might be a community group that raised money and got a little preschool up and going to service their community. And these places are, you know, are trying to do their absolute best. At some point, you know, like, it's how do you stay viable when the funding's not there? I mean, you can put costs up to parents, but a lot of these, particularly a lot of these community-based, are being responsive to the community, might be responsive to, they're responsive to the community and they're having to make these decisions about how to stay viable or not. And sometimes these services are in places where parents can't afford to pay fees. So you're trying to provide the service and keep it open and provide the best education you can for children. And it's getting harder and harder. Another issue is that we're attracting less people to the professions. There's less people training. I think the perception of the sector has dropped. We've got increasing workload. The sector's underfunded. Teachers get quite a low pay in some of the centres, so that it's not a desirable profession to go into anymore.
What would attract more teachers to the profession?
The first thing we have to do is address the underfunding of the sector. We've had funding cut, you know, frozen since 2010. That's probably one of the biggest, I would say, is the biggest issue that we face in early childhood education at the moment. If we can address the underfunding, that means that our teachers can be paid at an equitable level to the kindergarten teachers and primary colleagues. And that would be a first start, and that would also enable us to provide better ratios of children. I don't think there will be any parent out there would think it's okay for one teacher to have five babies to look after. I mean, that's, to me, is just horrific, you know, and yet we allow this to happen. And so we've got services struggling to try and find the extra funding to be able to provide better quality, and we're doing a good job, but it could be so much better. I mean, if we had 100% qualified teachers or working towards that, I mean, that's showing the value that we have in the early child education. I heard a colleague describe it once. Before she did her teacher training, she thought she was a pretty good worker with young children, and she said, but actually it was like being in a darkened room. And when she did her teacher training, it was like the light bulb came on and suddenly she could see clearly. I mean, wouldn't allow it in any other profession. In a doctor's surgery to have someone come in who didn't know anything, had done a first aid certificate or something like that.
So currently, how are centres funded?
We get funded on a per child, per hour basis, and then parents top up, I suppose, that amount. And that amount is also based on number of qualified teachers you have in the profession up to a maximum of 80%, as they call it. So this way to think of it is that if you had a centre that had 50 children over twos, it's five teachers to 50 children. And of that, currently only, 50% of them have to be qualified, but you only get funded for a maximum of 80%. So it's quite a complicated formula, which I think makes the whole conversation quite difficult. But to put it in simple terms, the rate per child per hour that we got in 2010 is more than what we get today in early child education.
Looking ahead to the election and maybe what's already been announced, have you seen any policies that you've thought would really help with these issues?
The parties that are looking at addressing the underfunding of the sector, absolutely, and those that are looking towards moving to reinstating the 100% qualified teachers and working towards that are probably the two biggest drivers for us. And I certainly know that, some of our parties have really campaigned in that space and are saying that they will look at that and that they actually recognise that there is that underfunding. I mean, what we're calling on, I suppose, everyone to think about education when they vote, because if we can address this stuff, then think of the absolutely amazing things that we'll be able to achieve.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
I think that, just one other thing. I mean, if we can increase the funding for early child education, I mean, the people that benefit the most are the ones, are our Māori, our Pacifica, would absolutely most benefit from increased funding. So I think that's something to be aware of.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te waia, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
That was NZEI spokesperson Virginia Oakley talking about early childhood education election issues. But what about primary schools? To look a little further down the track, I spoke with NZEI National Executive Vice President Ricky Shetland. Shetland says there's three core issues facing students, parents and teachers in primary schools right now.
So the first one really is around a funding boost to the operations grant so that primary schools, principals and boards can keep up with the rising cost of delivering quality education to our kids. So that's the first one. Second one is around national standards and charter schools and the impact that's having on student learning, in the sense that we are finding a narrowing of the curriculum with national standards and more time being spent assessing. Therefore, there's less time for the students to build relationships with teachers in terms of teacher time. And the third one is around making sure that there's some sort of recruitment and training strategy from the ministry so that we don't end up with the shortages that are now apparent in Auckland and actually apparent right across the country. Those are the three.
So how have we kind of arrived at a point where we're facing all these? I mean, are these new problems that we're facing? When have these come into play?
I think they're compounding problems. They're all an overtime thing where there doesn't appear to have been a real strategy to support the teacher and the school to do their job as well as they can. The funding one is not keeping up with inflation and costs are just simply creeping away on us. The national standards one has been in for a number of years and has just been ramped up again. So while it's not evidence-based, it's still impacting on what we are asked to deliver, so that's not a new one either. And the recruitment one is there is no recruitment, it's a recruitment strategy.
How do you think these issues, I mean, have you seen policy that, gives enough attention to them or presents any, sort of solution to them? How do you think this is playing out in the election so far and the kind of policies that have been put up?
I think if people look at the Vote Education website, they'll see what those policies look like and they can make that decision for themselves around where they see that sits. It's certainly playing out in terms of options and promises. But to me, I guess I'm in an imaginings place. I'm imagining how great it would be for our kids if their school had that consistent supply of teachers so there's no shortage, because the teachers could then build those relationships, those strong relationships that learning's built on. And then if the principals and the boards knew exactly what funding that was coming in and that they could pay the bills and maybe do a little bit more in support programs for all sorts of kids that need that work at the moment, and that the teacher's time was spent on in the classroom time, building those relationships, supporting the kids with their learning, that'd be a great place for my kids to be. and it doesn't quite feel there at the moment.
What have you heard from teachers in particular? I mean, are the teachers, I mean, we've heard a lot of concerns about funding and, you know, the wages that are being put out in the industry. Is this, by and large, kind of the main concern?
I think teacher salaries is a major concern, but it's probably bigger than that as well. That's part of the whole picture. The real picture around funding is that the schools aren't getting provided with enough funding to support the programs that are needed to deliver in today's modern age education.